We were talking about it in the elders meeting before prayer tonight, that there's a real danger that you can see, when a ministry is moving forward, the danger is that you'll look at how the ministry's moving forward and you'll put the emphasis there. You know, what are they doing? How is the ministry moving forward? And miss the most important thing, that if the ministry is actually moving forward, it's because we were on our face before the Lord. It's the prayer of his people that he's answering, and then they're endued with power from on high, and as God uses them, the ministry will move forward. Let's not lose sight of that. Amen. We don't want to get so focused on blessings that we forget our need of the blesser. And so let's get some wisdom from Proverbs. Everybody has a set of notes, I hope. And we won't take too long, but we want to see wisdom's warning tonight. We're in Proverbs chapter 1. And the caution, the warning is this: beware ungodly companions. And what we find out is you can actually make murder friends. So Proverbs starts out just right out of the gate, let me show you how bad it can get. And you would be tempted to read Proverbs chapter 1 and say, that's just crazy. I mean, how does it get that bad? Well, let me tell you something. My brother ignored Proverbs chapter 1, and he's in prison tonight for murder because of his murder friend who said, let's take life, let's take what they have, and let's have a common purse. Everything we're going to see tonight, my brother fell for it, and he's in jail for murder. So we need to hear, don't we? I mean, out of the chute, Solomon wants you to know. Let me just tell you just how bad it can get, so you better listen to wisdom. So point number one, we need to hear the word of God. And we need to submit to it. We need to obey it. So we saw this last week, but we're going to focus on it this week. Psalms or Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they, the instruction and the law, hearing the law, not forsake, or hearing the instruction, hearing the word, not forsaking the law, they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. That's what we saw last time. They will actually adorn. They'll dress up your life. So it's a pretty simple formula. You want to hear the instruction and then follow it. Forsake it not. The way that we sing it downstairs is this. That's one way that they would sing it. The other way that they would sing it is trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. You guys know that song. You should memorize that one. Trust and obey. That's it. Very simple. This is why Ephesians chapter 6 tells us, children, obey your parents. And notice the caveat. It's got to be in the Lord. If your parent is coaching you in the fine art of bank robbing, well, then you'd have a responsibility not to follow that. But if they're admonishing you in the Lord, right? If they're instructing you in the Lord, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, right? That it may be well with thee and that thou mayest live long on the earth. So we got to understand what we're supposed to do, right? We need to understand why we need to follow the instruction of godly parents. And so this brings us to just a couple really practical parenting tips that we get here from Proverbs. And so get this down, dads, any fathers in the house? There's a discipleship application here as well, okay? You can have children in the faith. So how many dads do we have in the house? I mean, that opens it up a little bit more, doesn't it? It's your job to make the investment. You're the investor. Investment is your first blank. So your job is to give instruction. And so fathers, note your role. And that's, you see it very clearly in Titus chapter 2. It's your job to speak the things which become sound doctrine, right? Your speech is to be sound in faith. You're to speak the truth in love, Ephesians chapter 4, and you should do it patiently. So dads, it's your job to make sure that your kids understand what is right because you've taken the time to teach and to explain to them what is right. Right? You're the instructor. You're the teacher. And use the Proverbs model. You see in Proverbs is dad is pointing out the evil and the good to his son. And he's showing them, right, through current, contemporary examples, the destruction and the ruin of sin in the lives of the rebellious, in the lives of the fool who do not follow after the word of God, but they go away that's right in their own eyes. And so life is going to give you examples of people that wreck themselves, right? They didn't check themselves, so they wreck themselves. It's your job to take that as a teaching moment and to instruct your children. Here, you see what happened in the life of this individual. Now their life has come apart at the seams because, and you just walk right down through it. They had a choice. There was a fork in the road. They chose self. They chose convenience. They chose whatever it was. They chose it in rebellion against the clear instruction of God's word. And when it came time to reap what they sowed in that decision, it wasn't worth it, was it? In other words, you want your kids big-eyed, nodding their head, saying, ah, I see what went wrong in that person's life so that now I'll make sure it doesn't go wrong in my life. You want your kids to know and understand what is right so that they come to their own right conclusions, right? You've taught them so that they can say, I know what's right. I see what's right. Oh, with all my heart, I want what is right. This is why I told my kids over and over again as they're growing up, with all my heart, I want you to be a godly man. I want you to be a mighty man of God. I want you to be a mighty woman of faith. But you have to want that. You have to see what that is and what that looks like. You've got to want, I want that for you, but I can't actually make that reality in your life. You have to, so it's my job to help them see the evil and the good so that they can come to their own right conclusion. So how you invest, it's got to be sound in faith. It's got to be truth in love, and you have to do it patiently. In other words, children are wired so that you actually get to practice a lot. You're going to say it over and over again, and you will perfect your craft teaching because your kids are going to have to keep getting the instruction. Moms, it's your job to set them up for success. Your job as keeper of the home is to lay down the law. So notice your role. Titus chapter 2, verse 3, the aged women, right? They're teachers of good things, Titus 2:3 says, and watch this now, verse 4. They teach, they may teach the young women to be sober, thinking, right? So that's not just substances, that's also circumstances. We need to be taught not to lose our mind and be unsober in our thinking when the circumstances of life come to bear. But that we're talking chemicals too. Be sober. Don't deal with your problems with Jim Beam as your counselor. That's a path to nowhere. To love their husbands, watch this now, to love their children, right? Look at verse 5. To be keepers at home. Okay, so what does a mom who loves her children keeping at home, what does that look like? A keeper is a guard. You're aware. It means to be aware. You're on guard. You're watching. You're keeping the home. It's just like what we saw in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15. Adam is placed in the garden. It's not just his job to tend the garden, right? To plant, water, fertilize, but also to keep it. The Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress and to keep it, to guard it, to be aware. So mom, nothing has changed. You got a beautiful little garden at your home, got these little sprouts coming up, and there's a snake in the garden, always looking to come in and sow death. So you got to be on guard, you got to be aware, you got to pay attention, because you know your husband misses stuff. And you do too, by the way, right? You want to listen to the things that your husband sees. He's there to get your back, and you're there to keep his back. And some of you, I know what you're thinking, it's like, my husband walked out. Sis, be a guard. Be alert. Make sure you keep your Bible study leader, your fellowship leader, your pastor in the loop, that you got people giving godly counsel and helping you to have your back as you have the back of your kids. Keep people in your life, keep them in the know so that you're accountable, so that you're encouraged, so that you have good counsel. But here's the deal. It's your job to make sure your kids know and keep the rules that keep them safe and pointed toward faith. So in other words, in our home, Cheryl's number one job was to make sure that our kids obeyed the first time, every time, immediately, with a happy heart. So delayed obedience, that's not going to cut it. Or immediate obedience, but just kicking their feet and throwing stuff around, you know. If my kid gets that they have to obey the first time, every time, immediately with a happy heart. And so in order to stay off the couch for discipline, right, in order to stay off the couch, they do it. But on the way, just smack big sis or smack little brother, just to put them in their place while they're in the middle of immediate obedience. Okay, we're missing the happy heart, right? It's not a willing heart. It's not a happy heart. And that's no obedience at all. Right, take out the trash. Fine! And then they just kind of throw it out on the street, you know. Trash is taken out. Back to the drawing board. That's not going to cut it. Right? Whenever a kid gets, right, whenever the children get that they got to know the rules and they got to follow the format first time, every time, immediately with a happy heart, it sets them up to be instructed. You're setting them up for father to instruct them, or for their mentor, or their Bible study leader, or their pastor to instruct them. And you set them up for you, right? God will give you the strength and the space to take that role where your children need it and you're the supply. But keeping the home, keeping them focused on doing the things that keep them safe and pointed toward faith will set them up to be trained. It helps them, whenever they get older now, to discern error right down the road in their lives. Proverbs 22, verse 6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." So what that tells me, and what we've seen in life, and in so many families, so many examples, a kid can be trained up in the way that he or she should go, and while they're young, there may be departing aplenty, a whole lot of departing. But whenever they age, whenever they mature, once the law of sowing and reaping has had its way with them, you know, we call this the school of hard knocks, eventually most kids will get a clue. Some kids will hit rock bottom and they'll just go out and source some dynamite, some excavating equipment, and they'll just keep boring a hole, a crater to hell, you know. But at some point, it just gets hard living like hell. At some point, you recognize this ain't working. Something has got to change, and that's when the light pops on. And so for some of us, right, we're praying that our kids get old because we told them right. They know right. They just don't want right. And that could be the fallacy of the young, and so get this down. Some youth want wrong because they're young and dumb. Did you get that? Some youth, not all youth, but some youth want wrong in their life because they're young and dumb. And oh, by the way, you can be old and dumb too. So don't sneer at the kids. There are plenty of old, dumb people that haven't come to the place where they're going to actually grow old in terms of mental, emotional, and spiritual maturity. But what happens is the law of sowing and reaping will finish their training and bring them to a place where this promise is fulfilled. So our first prayer request tonight for some of our kids that grew up at MBT, oh God, grow them up. Please grow them up. Let them get old. And notice the spirit, right? It's all in grace. Ephesians 6, verse 4 says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath." You ever notice how it's very easy for dad to get in lecture mode? You know, like, I mean, it's all dads, right? They're instructing and lecturing, and it just sounds like, you know, sounds like a chewing. No, I'm just trying to clue you in. No, it's got to be the truth in love. It's got to be with grace. Because whenever our kids get the truth and they recognize they want that in their life, that's how they're going to live in the grace of God. So that's why we got to bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And so here's our prayer request for this section in verses 8 and 9. We want to hear the word. We want to obey the word. We want our kids to hear the word and obey the word. Pray for Kidtown. Pray for the student ministry. Pray for our kids that grew up at MPT, but they're just not here tonight because they're out in the world throwing their lives away. Pray for them to get old. Parenting prayers. Let's pray for strength and the wisdom to invest in our kids, our disciples, right? For our kids and our disciples to come into mature wisdom, and we want to instruct them, right? We want to raise up our kids in the grace of God. And then in verses 10 through 19, we see the warning. And again, he just immediately starts out with, here's how bad it can get. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not? If they say, come away, you know, come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause, let us swallow them up alive as the grave, as and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. We're a family. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, and they lay in wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. And again, you say, that's crazy. How could that ever happen? That exact thing happened in my family. My little brother found a buddy, right? Thicker, tighter than brothers. All for one, one for both, right? And the whole thing was a lie. And he thought he had found a companion and a friend, and what he found is jail. And another time, he had already been swung in from a gallows, right? He had already been executed when he was found out. Thank God for that mercy, because it was in jail that my brother sobered up and recognized that he needed God's mercy and salvation and grace. And he got on his knees in his cell and cried out to the Lord for forgiveness of sin and trusted on him as his Lord and Savior. I'm very grateful. Verses 11 and 12 is the hard sell, because this is deep, violent sin, okay? We're going to kill people and take their stuff. I don't know what's going on with my mic, but do I need to switch? I can switch if I need to. Oh, wow. Sorry about that. You got attacked in church. This is what we're talking about. Tad's not after your wallet. Yeah. Okay, I think it's working now. So verses, you see that? Verses 11 and 12, let's go kill some people. That's kind of a hard sell. It requires enticement. That's verses 13 through 14. So what's happening is the wicked pose as a false family. All for one, one for all. Okay, we're gonna have a life together. And so that's the enticement. Do you see that? This is how gangs operate. MS-13 is gonna attract children. Let's just enjoy a life of murder. Well, no, there's camaraderie, there's a brotherhood, there's family. You see that? Bloods, Crips, whatever. These people love me. They have my back. Okay, the same thing's true in schools. And it doesn't even have to look like these murder gangs, just friends that give themselves to drugs and rioting and, you know, just throwing their lives away. They're doing it together. And nobody's thinking the thing through. What happens when we reap all of this dysfunction back in our lives? But that's how it works. That's how it worked on my brother. We're going to get rich. We're going to have a common life, common purse, common destiny. We're going to be a family. Verse 15 is the non-consent move. The enticement comes. Here's what you say. You say no. Don't walk with the wicked. Why? Because in verses 16 through 19, we see the consequences of walking with the wicked. They're walking to their own destruction. And this is what we saw on Sunday. We don't want to be there with the wicked when they come to their end, because remember, we saw the law of recompense. It's the law of recompense, the law of sowing and reaping. We looked at several verses. Here's one for review, Ezekiel 11, verse 21. Those whose heart walketh after the heart of their detestable things and their abominations, God says, I will recompense their way upon their own heads. So recompense, we saw on Sunday, is the repayment of their sin in kind. And so they're looking for blood, they're going to pay blood. They get the wages of their sin back multiplied from an infinite God. And so we went through this list, and so it wasn't in your notes on Sunday, so I gave it to you here. Example after example of people who meant evil, and they got it back multiplied in their own life. Probably the most ironic example is wicked Haman plotting to take out Mordecai, builds a gallows to ensure it, and this wicked man ends up with his neck stretched on the gallows he made for the guy he hated. And instead of the Jewish people being wiped out, his whole family was wiped out, and the Jews were spared. You just see it over and over and over again in Scripture. So here's the prayer. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 13. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We need to pray, Lord, keep us from evil. We need to be accountable to one another. We don't want to be in a situation where we're saying, because, you know, sin is enticing. The enticements of sin come. And then we say to our brothers and sisters when they check us, hey, stop judging me. You don't know me. You don't understand why. I know what the Bible says, but you don't understand what's going on with me. We need to humble ourselves, and we need to let brothers and sisters call us back. But, you know, sometimes the enticement is so great, you don't want to hear truth. And so we've got brothers and sisters that are out in the world, and I think with all my heart, some of these are genuinely our brothers and sisters. And it offends me that they're going to go through life trying to prove that a life in Christ didn't work. Mighty God, shake them. Wake them up. Don't let them get away with that. If the wicked can entice, our God can convict. Amen? Isn't conviction far better than enticement? And so, don't we all know somebody that should be here with us tonight? We ought to have to hold multiple evening corporate prayer ministry services. But we got people that aren't here. And so, man, let's pray for the convicting work of the Holy Spirit. Amen? And maybe you hear this and you got, you know, some other requests came to you through this. Man, let's just get in groups. Let's pray for one another before we get out. Let's call on the Lord for wisdom. Amen? So everybody grab somebody. You've got your prayer list here. Let's pray.